Coming up on today's show,
we all have different backgrounds. We all have different experiences. And sometimes we even share those same experiences, good and bad. And yet, when we look at each other, you can say, wow, this is my brother, or this is my sister in Christ.
Peace be with you. It is the last episode of 2025. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more, from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks, about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode of this show comes out. Social media for this show is as follows: Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I do invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those, and then the Catholic Sports Radio Community, that is the name of the Facebook group, Catholic Sports Radio Community. Its members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Sports broadcasts have no shortage of former players and coaches as color analysts and studio hosts. Names like Tom Brady, Tony Romo, Charles Barkley, and John Smoltz bring us viewers tremendous insights thanks to their perspective as former athletes that played pro football, basketball, and baseball, respectively, to name just a few. We marvel at what expert views they can bring us because of who they are and what they have done. I often think of the expression, "I taught him everything he knows, but I didn't teach him everything I know." Our Heavenly Father has all the lessons, all the answers, and His is the information we should crave. In the Old Testament, Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18 say, quote, "How precious to me are your designs, O God! How vast the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the sands. When I complete them, still you are with me," end quote. Or to read it from the New International Version, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a seminarian in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, attending St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. He was actually not born into the Catholic faith, and as we will hear today, his sights were actually fixed squarely on basketball, which he played as a youth, with a focus on making the freshman team at the high school he would be attending. In the seminary, he participates in tournaments in billiards and chess. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Joshua Brooks.
Hi there, Mr. Bruce. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Joshua. Thank you so much for making time for this. And I'd love to get started by having you share about where you were born and raised, as well as what the family size was.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm originally from Southwest Philadelphia, but I moved out to a small suburb in Delaware County. It's called Glen Olden. So I live in Glen Olden, PA, with my mother and my sister. Yeah.
You are the older of the two children, or your sister is?
So I am the youngest. I'm the youngest. My sister is older.
Okay.
By 4 years. Yeah.
I mentioned in the intro that you were not born into the Catholic faith. Share with the audience what faith you were born into and when and why you were introduced to the Catholic faith.
That's a really good question. So when I was growing up, my family, we were all Baptists. So we went to a Baptist church. So we were Protestants, basically. But my parents, they enrolled my sister and I into Catholic education. So by spending time in Catholic education, that's how I was introduced to the Catholic faith. And I learned about how God's a father, how God loves you, basic scriptural knowledge, essentially.
As a young boy, you really were taken by the sport of basketball and got those dreams of maybe one day making the pros and playing in the NBA. Take us through your years as a 7th, 8th, and then 9th grader in terms of going all in for basketball.
Yes, that is amazing just to think about. The 7th and 8th grade years, those were pinnacle points for me and just growing as a young man and also just seeing how my heart was really oriented towards a certain passion in my life. So, yeah, my 7th and 8th grade years, I spent practicing and with a personal trainer, with my own shooting coach, just so I can make the high school basketball team. And I remember my dad, he would have to pay sessions. So I put a lot of effort into that. So when I went to high school, I could hopefully be prepared to make the team. So I would say that my 7th and 8th grade years, they were really important, a lot of effort from not only myself, but from my family, which I'm truly grateful for.
An audience, I only knew part of the story. So we're all for the first time hearing the depths, Joshua, that you and your family went to that I didn't know that you had a trainer. And I think you said a shooting coach. And tell the audience how that all worked out once you got to 9th grade and tried out for that team.
It did not work out as I hoped. So I remember that there were two tryout dates. There was the tryout, there was the first tryout, and the next day there was the second tryout. So the first tryout, I felt really good. I remember the coaches, they asked for my name. They, you know, I was getting looked at. So I was like, okay, this is good. I'm getting looked at. The second tryout, I would say it wasn't the best. So when I tried out in November of my first year, basically I did not make the team. So I remember getting into the car with my dad, and I was just like, yeah, like, I didn't make it. And, you know, I would have thought that he would have been disappointed, but he wasn't. You know, I was probably just more disappointed in myself. My family, they said, it's going to be all right. There's plenty of other years you can try out in high school. And I was just the freshman team, basically. So there was still hope for JV or varsity. And as we know, Michael Jordan didn't make the team his first year. He got cut, but he ended up making it. So there's a little bit of hope for me, but when I didn't make the basketball team, I was really down myself and really wondering, like, man, what am I going to do?
Okay, there's pictures that you sent to me, an audience. I do hope that you look at the pictures that I post each week on the website. And by the way, I always post a picture in the Facebook group that I don't publish anywhere else. So I'm going to be publishing pictures that Joshua sent to me on the episode page for his interview on CatholicSportsRadio.net, and then I'll put another in the Facebook group. But Joshua, you were able to send me basketball photos. So were those from 7th, 8th grade, and you look a lot older than you were, or did you play basketball later in life that I'm not aware of?
No, so those pictures, that's actually really funny. Those pictures are from my sophomore year, so that was 2019. I was at a basketball camp for young high school guys. And the funny thing was, I think I was the only guy that had asked a photographer to come out to take those pictures. Okay. There's plenty of other pictures, but it was really funny. I paid for a photographer to take the pictures for me. Some nice action shots. So
yeah.
I was basically 15 years old.
I like it. So we are going to go back, though, audience, to that 9th grade point in Joshua's life when he had put in all the work that you heard about and didn't make the team. Because Joshua, the story continues that once basketball fell by the wayside, you didn't make the team. You met a girl, and instead of basketball, you were seeing if maybe there'd be a relationship that way. tell us how that played out. And audience, as Joshua gives his answer, you're going to understand why I asked this question, since it's not something I usually talk with guests about on this show.
So pretty much when I didn't make the basketball team, I was just wondering, like I said, what was I going to do in life? What was going to be my new passion? And so I needed to find that someone or something that I was going to be able to love and they would love me back without failing me. So I just looked towards maybe that would be in a significant other, particularly having a girlfriend and then probably pursuing marriage. Although I did not have the best perception of marriage or even love as just a 15-year-old boy. So I asked out around the time, I think maybe like a handful of girls that were my age at that time. And I remember they all said no. But then the last girl that I asked out, she ended up saying yes at that time. And I thought this is what I wanted. This was like, you know, a girlfriend. Everything I wanted right now, a new passion. This was that someone or something that I could truly be able to love and they would love me back. But however, when I asked out that girl and when we began dating, it was all within a 24-hour span that we were still dating. And yeah, I still felt incomplete. This was not the love that I was in search of. You know, I was looking for a love that would transform me, renew me, that would be different than a love that was like basketball, something that could just come and go. And so I remember I was in my Catholic high school and I learned about the identity of the priest and I learned about Catholic theology. And I remember reflecting within that 24-hour span, just like everything I learned about the Catholic priesthood and like how the celibate life, how that call is so extraordinary. When I learned about the Mass and how Christ is present, it was all something that was, it was all a higher love, something that was higher than an earthly love I could ever experience with just one person. And so I remember I had called up the girl over the phone and I told her, look, I'm thinking about this whole priesthood thing. And I asked her, I said, look, I'm not Catholic yet. I don't know anything about it, but it was all interesting. And I told her these specific words. I said, would you wait for me? And I specifically remember on the phone, she said, I'm not going to wait for you. And so then she hung up the phone and I remember I was in my room and I had this Catholic crucifix in my room. And I looked at that crucifix and I still have it to this day. I looked up at it. I said, Lord, if she won't wait for me, who will? And the whole time our Lord was just saying, Josh, I've been waiting for you. I have the best love to give you. And I want you to share it, not just with one individual, but share it with the whole world, with the people that feel detached from it. So that's how my relationship with the girl pretty much ended and how it led me into finding a new life, a new faith, and a new family.
Wow. Wow. If that's not a mic drop moment. An audience, I think you see now why I asked Joshua that question and why he's on Catholic Sports Radio this week. At this point in your story, at that point in your life, you were really feeling this pull, Joshua, that Jesus was calling you. We all fight the battle of, is Christ really talking to me? Or are these my own thoughts and I'm trying to convince myself that our Savior is the one guiding my thinking? Did you ever take a step back and think, wait, is this real? I was born Baptist. I thought my life was going to be about basketball. And now here I am thinking that God is calling me to serve him?
Yeah, so really, when I look back and even when I give advice to people now in terms of, oh, well, how do I know if this is just a mere thought? How do I know if this is an actual call from our Lord or something that I'm just generating myself? And really, you can tell if it's from the Lord if for two things. One, if it's not easy, definitely know it's probably from our Lord. And then also, if it's something that is beyond you, if it's something that you find hard to even fathom, then that's how you may know it's from God. Because as you're reading the scriptures, God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the one thing I loved about Catholicism was that it always demands more from us. It demands us to be sacrificial as Christ is. It doesn't call us to be mediocre, but to be self-sacrificing and to give our all and to actually unite ourselves to the suffering of Christ on the cross. So I really knew that, you know, this was something that was beyond me. It's not something that I would just come up with on my own or let alone go along with. I knew that this was something from our Lord, that he was calling me to just be a better man and be a better person. So for other individuals, that's what I would say is the great key to knowing God's will for you in your life. It's a call that is beyond you. Even something that you think that you can't do, it's probably and highly probable that it's our Lord placing that on your heart, calling you to something greater. And that's exactly what I'm witnessing him do in this present moment with my vocation, still calling me to greater measures and calling me to be a better man.
Yeah, and as his humble servant, I would add on to that, that the other evaluation you want to do is this for my glory or for his glory? If you're putting all your chips into the center of the table and saying, make me this great star basketball player, well, it sounds to me like there's a good chance that you're trying to glorify yourself. Granted, we talked with Keely Lucina last week about those talents and honoring God through them and what he's blessed you with, but I think you understand the spirit with which I'm saying this. Friends, there is actually a plot twist in all this that I want Joshua to tell you about. As you're hearing, we're privileged to have a front row seat to a really unique story this week. Something that I think is unique is that Alliance Catholic Credit Union created Alliance Catholic Foundation to increase opportunities to minister to the community. If you are interested in promoting Catholic culture, become a friend of the foundation. When you join online, you will receive a welcome packet and have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholicfoundation.org. Federally insured by NCUA. Do be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Seminarian Joshua Brooks is my guest this week. I think I just might have to ask him about the recent NBA Cup, the amazing season that the defending champion Oklahoma City Thunder are having, and maybe even his thoughts on highly touted rookie Cooper Flagg of the Dallas Mavericks. First, though, Happy New Year a few days early. As I said at the very beginning of today's episode, this is the last episode of 2025. As you get your financial house in order in these final days of the calendar year, do please consider a belated Christmas gift or best of luck in 2026 wishes in terms of blessing this ministry. I remember in the movie Ghostbusters when Bill Murray said, "No job is too big, no fee is too big," and your contribution in any amount is helpful as I continue doing all of this work on and off the air strictly on a voluntary basis. That means that I don't get any income from doing this, and it's neither my full nor my part-time job. I'm giving back to the church with time and talent, and you can give by supporting this ministry. I do my best to cite specific expenses, exact dollar amounts, as bills come in that I'm otherwise having to try to find a way to pay out of my own pocket, so you know how your contribution is helping. I ask you to prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. You can utilize the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to send in your contribution. If you would rather send a check through the mail instead of putting a credit card number online, you can write to me via Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net for details on getting your financial gift to me that way. Regardless of which of those two methods you use, as you have heard me do when guests or listeners make a financial gift to my ministry, with your permission, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode of the show to express my gratitude as a public thanks for supporting Catholic Sports Radio. Or as some have asked me to do, you can choose to direct me to keep it anonymous. I'm grateful for your prayerful consideration as to this form of tithing to help me continue on in my walk with Christ and all of you through this ministry of faith and sports. Joshua, I said that there is a plot twist in all this, which is that unless something has changed in the last 6 months, your parents are actually not Catholic all this time?
Yes, yeah, so actually, my mother is in RCIA for the Catholic faith. And yes, it was true that when I converted, when I was 15 years old, none of my parents were Catholic, but they, as I said, they sent my sister and I to Catholic education. They supported my decision in converting to the Catholic faith and wanting to become a Catholic priest. And I think it was not really through my own efforts or my own work. But it was through our Lord, through His divine call. He reached out to my mother, and He reached out to her through other Catholic lay people and through the Catholic clergy and the religious sisters. So I think just the witness of the entire Catholic Church is what opened her up into seeing the family-like atmosphere of our faith, because I realized that she really wanted to make sure that her son was surrounded by great people and that they really had his best interest. That's what I think. And I think when she saw the love of the great old ladies in the parish, and when she saw how regular lay young men and women, such as yourself, Bruce, how they go out of their way and are doing so much for the Catholic faith, it's inspiring and it makes you want to be a part of it. It's something special going on. So I think really, truly, just also to the listeners, thank you all for your witness, because it's because of people like you, especially you, Mr. Bruce, that my mother is converting to the Catholic faith, and hopefully my father one day may convert, but it's all in our Lord's plan. It's our Lord's will.
Amen. Amen. So for the record, you said in there it was age 15 when you did convert.
Yes, when I converted, yes, I was 15. Yeah.
So that was around the time of this girl who had told you, "No, I won't wait."
Yep, around the same time, yes.
Okay. I mentioned back in the intro that you've been playing billiards and chess at the seminary. I think it's helpful that we do all get exposed to the fact that while seminarians are obviously very much focused on formation, there does need to be an opportunity to have an outlet and fellowship with one another, such as what I'm mentioning here with billiards and chess, so that we don't all think that you are secluded and having to just study, 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 and not develop any kind of bond with the other seminarians.
Yes, so pretty much chess is the biggest game that I play currently right now. It's something I'm really, I know the word addicted should be a good word, but I would say I'm really addicted to chess, especially when I was playing over Christmas break and on Thanksgiving break as well. But yes, it's true that we take a part in a lot of fraternal activities such as chess, billiards, baseball, volleyball, basketball. So we use these things to grow together as men. Men, we should be playing sports and should be fraternal with each other, but we also like to have our competitive nature come out. So in the seminary, chess has been a really big game. It's something that I've actually picked up on last year when I was in my third year of seminary, and it's something that I'm getting better at daily. So I sometimes will play chess.com and play people from other countries. And I'm not that good. I'm not, on my Elo on chess.com is like a 540. So take it how you want. But in my book, I'm really good. So yeah.
But audience, you'll recall that when I asked Joshua where he was born and raised and what the family size was, he mentioned that he had a sister, no brothers. So Joshua, this has really given you an opportunity with the fellow seminarians to have what you might consider brothers.
Oh yeah. Like when I went to seminary, I didn't really have a really good concept of brother. Now, I had many guy friends when I was in high school, but they were really friends. They didn't really, I can't really say that I had like a brotherly type of friends when I was in high school. And then it really changed when I got to seminary. You really have guys that are pushing you to grow in holiness, and they're helping you strive towards becoming that man, becoming the priest that Christ really wants you to be. And you know it's not from anything impure, it's not from any jealousy, or it's not from a guy wanting to make himself feel better. It's actually a guy looking out for your best interest. And that's a really good concept of brother that I've learned and adapted to through seminary formation.
Wow. Wow, that's beautiful. Clearly, your relationship with Jesus has to have deepened from the day you entered the seminary. But since this is a show about the mix of faith and sports, have you, in fact, been able to witness how he is present in everyday environments where lay people might think otherwise?
Yes, pretty much. I see it really through the interactions that we all have with people. It's not just the interaction that a seminarian might have with a lay person, but really when, as a lay person, your interactions with each other, because in our interactions, we can sometimes think, oh, like we can take them for granted. Now, when I'm talking with people, when I'm getting to know them and know their interests, it's like, wow, like this is a fruit of the church. This is a tool that can be used to evangelize, or we can come together and we can teach each other certain things so that we can grow and become better friends. As Catholics, we see our Lord working in our interactions with each other, whether it's after Mass, whether it's at a parish Bible study, or after adoration, or while we're praying together. It's those moments in our interactions where we see our Lord working, because we all have different backgrounds. We all have different experiences. And sometimes we even share those same experiences, good and bad. And yet when we look at each other, you can say, wow, this is my brother, or this is my sister in Christ. And our Lord is at work in their life. And I see how he's at work in my life by putting them in my life and through this interaction. So that's the best way I can see from my own experience how our Lord is active in all of our lives.
Yeah, and if we think about dismissal at Mass, and when we would hear the words, go forth to love and serve the Lord and one another, that's a direct order. Go forth to love and serve the Lord and one another. It's not a nice way, it's not a nice closing line, and we've heard the expression, be Jesus to others. So you can't say, well, I can't be Jesus to others. I have to work tomorrow. I can't go forth to love and serve the Lord and one another. I have to go play basketball right now. No, that is the opportunity to go and bring your Catholic faith into everyday environments where we've been conditioned by society to think otherwise, that no, I serve the Lord and one another while I'm in church. And Joshua, I think you've just given great testimony to that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So give us a look ahead. Describe for us the timetable and some of the milestones as you continue forward on your seminary journey.
So I am in my fourth year of seminary, and so it's 4 out of 9. I entered seminary in 2022, in the fall of 2022. So I have about 5 more years left. So hopefully, God willing, 2031, I would be able to be ordained a priest for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And truly every day, I just take it one day at a time. I know sometimes seminary, and I think listeners can probably understand where I'm coming from. When we have a goal and we're on this journey, it can sometimes feel really far away. And we can begin to question, like, why am I really doing this? I could just sit back and relax and not have to worry about this. But we all come to terms with just taking it one day at a time. So my milestone, well, the end goal is to be a priest every day, is just grow as a better man so that I can become a great father to the people I will one day serve, and to grow in my fatherly identity as a man so that I can care for people, so I may have a proper understanding and a proper way of showing love and compassion for others. So at the moment, my main milestone that I just completed actually is, it's this 1 year in seminary. It's called the Provoducere. It's when you detach yourself from the world in a certain way. You don't have a cell phone or electronics. And so you're basically going throughout the week not knowing any like different news that came out. So I did that year in 2023. That was like the recent milestone where I got rid of like a cell phone and a computer throughout the week, and I wouldn't get back until a Saturday.
Wow.
So it taught me how to really devote more time to our Lord and prayer, and to not really worry about those things. And so that's the best advice I can give. It's really, let's not worry about the outside noise of the world. Let's focus on ourselves. Let's focus on the people that our Lord is calling us to be, so that when the time comes, we're prepared to do His will.
Yeah, and I love the timeline that you describe, because as the calendar is turning over to 2026, all of a sudden 2031 is only 5 years away. And in the grand context, you think, well, 5 years is really not as intimidating as it sounds. I remember when I was discerning becoming a Benedictine oblate, and the St. Leo Abbey requires you to spend 1 year as an oblate novice. And I thought, gosh, a whole year? And now in March of 26, I'm going to hit 8 years since I became an oblate at the St. Leo Abbey.
Wow.
And so the time flies by, and it sounds like a long time to go through a seminary, but let's face it, this is a lifetime of service that you're preparing yourself for. So to go through five more years is certainly very justified. We're going to do it. We're going to close by talking basketball. I can only assume that you still follow the NBA closely. So have at it.
I do.
The NBA Cup, the phenomenal season the Oklahoma City Thunder are having, Cooper Flagg's rookie year so far. I'm guessing you're a Sixers fan, by the way. Let's have you wrap things up for us by talking hoops.
Yeah, so I am a Sixers fan. I grew up going to around 2013 when they were really bad, in 2014. I had season tickets with my dad. I would get autographs from players such as, they're not in the NBA anymore, but Michael Carter-Williams, Nerlens Noel, Jason Richardson, those Sixers, greats during that time, Joel Embiid back then. But I am really fond of VJ Edgecombe recently. He's amazing in Philadelphia. We actually just played the Mavericks, and we actually beat the Mavericks. But the NBA Cup, though, congratulations to the New York Knicks. The Knicks, I believe they won.
Yes.
But the OKC Thunder, they're a really good team. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, if you ask me, I think he just flops all the time. But much love to him, though. And I will say that when I went to my last NBA Cup game, it was around Thanksgiving when the Sixers played the Magic. It was probably November 23rd, and the Sixers got blown out by 30 or 40 points.
Oof.
And my dad and I, we left at like the middle of the third quarter. Now, we didn't have our superstars. We didn't have Joel Embiid or Paul George or VJ Edgecombe. It was just Tyrese Maxey. But the Sixers, I think there's a chance that we can definitely make a run to the conference finals. I don't know about the NBA finals, but hopefully the conference finals. Hopefully we can make it there.
Okay. Well, audience, you heard it here first. Joshua's got big hopes for the Sixers. Joshua, we have big hopes for you. We're all going to be praying for you as you continue your journey to priesthood. And thank you ever so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you.
Yes, God bless. Thank you.
Audience, it's been a while since we've done our prayer to the Holy Spirit. So let's close with that one this week, starting in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of us your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, wishing you a very happy new year. And remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.